here?
Right there.
I got that thing.
Oh, it's in here, never mind. I couldn't see it from down there. Thank you, brother. I suppose it don't make much difference, but the last time that I was here, I was parked right out front. I've never done that, ever.
You gonna have to speak up or I'm gonna put the mic on.
Oh, I'll get there. No. Anyway, the reason that I was out there is because no one was here, and I was over there, and I knew I couldn't see the door when somebody opened the door, so I rode all the way around the block and parked there to watch the door. Been on the road for a while, I was anxious for the door to be opened. How should we feel today, regardless of our medical condition or whatever else?
Thankful.
We should feel just about like shouting out hallelujah, praise to God. I am in the first chapter of 2 Timothy. Had designs on reading the whole thing, but I'm going to start in the middle and stop about two-thirds, I think. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Oftentimes we go to Romans 8 and it's talking about the calling and the predestination and all that, but this one here is fairly succinct. It said, who hath called us, past tense,
Amen.
Who hath called us, saved us, and called us with a holy calling. Did you ever pay much attention to the calling that you got? I hope you all realize that it is a holy calling. It's a holy calling from a holy God. And it's something that we didn't merit, something we didn't work for, and at least in my own case, something I was not expecting. Something I felt was out the realm of possibilities for one such as I. But that makes it that much more sweeter. If there's something you try to attain and don't think you can, and then it's there or it's brought to you, it's that much sweeter. The old Pharisee well thought that whatever he got, he deserved. Well, let's just say the publican and the thief on the cross. They had no reason to expect anything of God. But oh, what grateful hearts there was when the God of glory touched them, as it was in my case. I don't remember the exact night, but I remember it was a night. It was different the next day. The previous day was worry and fret and sorrow and fear. Being in bondage to fear and afraid to die and afraid to live because of the life that I was living. But the next morning, the next day, you know the old story, the birds sang sweeter. Even the air in the polluted outside of Baltimore was sweeter, cleaner. Everything was better. Still is, by the way. And some folk that profess a good profession here on down the road, they'll say, I don't know if God's ever been good to me or not. If he's ever been good to you, ever, you're his.
Amen.
God doesn't play with your emotions. He doesn't cause you to think that you pass from death to life. But if you're sitting here, out there, anywhere, and you love the brethren, that's an evidence that you pass from death to life.
Amen.
And if you can ever say that God spoke to you, touched you, showed you, led you, or anything, heaven is your home. We have a sovereign protector. We have a mighty God and a redeemer. And Paul starts out here in the sixth verse by saying, put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. And he wrote this to Timothy, and most people think that that was his ordination. Be that as it may, Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift of God. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. If you watch the news, listen to the news, or hear your neighbors talking about the news, there's nothing wonderful about it. There's basically nothing ever good. But the beauty of it is that we're told that we were given not the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I've said this repeatedly. No matter what the world is doing or is going to do or claim they're going to do, fret not.
Amen.
Our God is in absolute, complete control.
Absolutely.
Nothing can hinder, nothing can hurt outside the will of God. And if the will of God be so that we perish, we can but go to God.
Amen.
I don't see the downside to that. I've never been able to. I hear people talking about they want to do this and that and the other, that they might live and live and live and live. And that's all right. You know, if God has a purpose for you here, you'll live. When that purpose is fulfilled, you can expect to go. But it's not a downside, only for those that are left. It's not a downside for the one that dies, as you spoke about some of the ones that are sickly. If they go back to God, There's an old saying, I saw at a funeral one time, something or other like, now I know what you don't know, but someday I hope that you'll know just as I do. Which means that dead person knows something we don't know. And isn't that a wonderful thought? The dead knows something we don't. The scripture says the dead know nothing, but the dead in Christ, that spirit, is resting in everlasting joy and peace and bliss in the presence of God. And again, I say there is no downside to that. Paul said the same thing. He said, for me to die is gain, but it's needful for you that I remain. And that's pretty much the way most of us feel. They said, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. We find out that God was always there, and his power is always there, and his testimony of our Lord is something we should not be ashamed of. I can remember Brother Dillon talking at one of the association meetings, and he said, if you're in the hospital and they ask you what's your religion, you say, Primitive Baptist. We shouldn't be ashamed of it.
No, sir.
I watched last night some about the Amish, which one never knows whether it's true or not. But near as I can tell, they're decent, wonderful, God-fearing people. They left Europe just like our forefathers to escape persecution. And they adhere to their beliefs, which it would be impossible for us to do because we're accustomed to nicer things. But all that being said, they don't fret when somebody makes fun of them. They just say, it works for us. Brethren, our doctrine works for us. It's something that we love, something that we enjoy, something that we were brought to out of the world and all the worldly things. And some worldly so-called doctrines. There's little, if any, doctrine in the worldly churches anymore. It's prosperity doctrine, and God wants you to be this and that and the other, and I said before, but God wants you well, he'll heal you. God wants you rich, he owns everything he certainly could provide. But if God wants you down here on the bottom so that you reach out and call out to him, not for more and more and more, but thanking him for what he has given you and done for you. I have a belief that God has blessed me above all that I should ask or think. Whether it be with the things that are attacking me now or 10 years ago with the cancer and blood disease. When the doctor wrote the report, I was called a right cheerful 70-year-old man. Now, not many people cheerful in a hospital when you're told you're going to die. But I told them I wasn't going to die. I told them all is well. Now, they did not understand that. What I meant was, if I die, it's well, but if I don't, all is well. And they had me at death's door, and very next day they come in and said, "We're going to send you home." I, really? No. You can't be doing that. But it is a wonderful thing to be able to say it doesn't really matter. If I get well, fine. If I don't, I'm in the presence of the Lord. Oncologist told me I was going to die within a year. Went by ambulance to Hershey. Doctors came in and said, "You do have cancer. You'll probably die from something else. It's going to take the cancer 30 or 40 years to get to you." She said it was within a year, and it was already March. And I said, "Okay, when I'm 100, 110, I'll come back and see you." But anyway, the main thing here is, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Think about that. We're talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who hath called us with a holy calling, and not according to our works. You know what we would get? I'll use me. I know what I would get if it was according to my works. It would be an eternal damnation in hell.
Amen.
All of sin to come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
Pharisee forgot that. A lot of people have forgot that. Heard a well-known preacher say one time, he was asked what he was going to do in heaven. Now, what you're going to do in heaven is a real complicated question. I mean, you're going to praise God. You're going to enjoy the benefits of it forever. But what are you going to do? Oh, I'm going to keep teaching God's people just like I am now. Really? I'm going to see Jesus Christ and know as I'm known. What are you going to teach me? I mean, really? Yeah, the arrogance of that statement. According to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Timothy, it's to him. Paul wrote it, and he told him all of these things were before the world began. I mean, I grew up way down south, you know, where the mountains are real mountains and all that, you know. Not that these up here aren't, but that's another story. And when they got up in the pulpit and said that all this happened before the dust of the highest hills was ever laid, you know, that's a great big hill. Which reminds me, when my dad died back in 97, I come up 220 and I got on the Blue Ridge. And I pulled over at a particular site that I'd been to before. And the plaque said, "The ground on which you're standing was put here by earthquake or whatever. And it came down to here." And I'm standing there and I went 360 and ain't nothing higher than this hill I'm on. So it didn't come down from nothing. That's the ignorance of the so-called smart people. The lava flew down. And it's nothing above it. I mean, it goes down. If you go across the road, it goes down. and it's level that way. But I enjoy looking at the mountains, and I enjoy studying the handiwork of God, which is why I was so enthused with Crystal, studying plants. Have you ever stopped to think about all the plants that God made? He put them all over the world to give man something to eat, and the animals. And then he told you could eat meat after that, after the flood. And mankind has went downhill ever since. Eating meat will kill you. I'm serious. I'm one of them, but we know that it causes all kind of things to happen in the body that are not good. Plants don't do that, unless you get a hold of poison. But anyway, he saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not because of what you've done, not because of what you didn't do, just simply because he loved you. And I praise his name. Thank you very much.
Bless you. Number 10. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Jesus, because he first loved me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh,
ask an interest in your prayers as we stand before you for a few moments. We're thankful for the opportunity to be with you today, and especially since we've been housebound for 2 Sundays this month already with snow. But to be blessed together is a good thing, and we're thankful to see all of you, and we just thank the Lord for you. Thank the Lord for his love and kindness towards us. If I had a text to read, if you have your Bibles, John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Just a couple of verses from there. And in these verses, I trust that we will realize how truly blessed we are. You know, we talk about love and the kindness of the Lord our God towards us. Sometimes we forget the little intricacies that goes along with that, those things that he does for us. And starting there at verse 24, John 10:24. Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You know, we, as God's little children, sometimes we tend to forget what makes us to differ than just anybody else.
Exactly.
What is it that God has done to us? What is it that God has given us that makes us sheep? Sheep that would hear his voice, and sheep that would desire to follow him. You know, Lord, in the Psalms, David says that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why is it that a little sheep doesn't want? If we remove that corrupt, simple flesh nature of ours, what you will find is that spirit, that new creature, the earnest of the spirit that God has placed within our breasts, that is in commune and fellowship with the Spirit of Almighty God. So to know him is to have had that work wrought within you. To know him means that you have been brought out of nature's darkness into his marvelous light. You have been quickened by the power of the living God. And in that quickening, you have been given the earnest of the Spirit, which witnesses with the Spirit of God. So what Jesus was saying to the Pharisees simply is that you don't have that. That has not been given to you. The same thing when Thomas asked him, how is it that thou shalt manifest themselves unto us and not to the world? He hasn't quickened the world. He has quickened his own. That makes us different.
Amen.
From the world. That makes us, brethren, to, when Jesus says they know me and they follow me, that means our path is different than the world's path. The world knows not where they're headed, but we do.
Amen.
We know that we're just traveling through the world. We're not citizens thereof. I know you got to pay taxes, and the state of Virginia claims you as their citizen and all these kinds of things. But still, our citizenship is above. We are travelers through this world, headed through that place, which is our true home, called heaven. It is not a, I love that song because that when the storm passes by. Because Satan does do that. He attempts to plays with the minds and thoughts of you. He doesn't care about the world, but he does care about upsetting you. He cares about bringing doubt in your minds.
Sure.
When that song says that Satan whispers, basically that, you know, what if there's no tomorrow, there's no hereafter, you know, this sorrow and anguish and sickness, it's here forever. There's nothing beyond this. Well, that's why Scripture says that Satan was a liar from the beginning. He lied to Eve in the garden. He's lying to you today.
Yep.
The truth of the matter is, yeah, there is a hereafter.
Amen.
There is a home for God's little children when we leave this life.
Absolutely.
And that sign that you said you read at the funeral home, they are blessed to see him as he is. They have been blessed to be delivered from this which hinders us here day by day. As much as we cling to this old flesh of ours, as much as this flesh is needful in a natural sense for us to inhabit this place that is not our home, it is given to us just for that purpose. For our habitation while we're here below. What really is real and true about us is that which God has placed within our breast. Which is why we love the brethren. Which is why love flows from breast to breast among God's children. It ain't about how we look on the outside. It's about what God has placed within each one that the Lord claims here to be his sheep, who knows his voice because we are his. And we follow him because we are his. We're not the world's. We're not products of the world. The world is not our home. The world has nothing to offer us except that which God provides us to sustain us day by day, moment by moment, until such time as he wafts us away and takes us home to glory. So when we leave this place, we will be leaving nothing. We will be missing nothing. We will experience and achieve that joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Amen.
And while one brother may think that he's going to be teaching God's children, you know, as foolish as our thoughts might be on this side of glory, the good thing about that brother is that he won't carry those foolish thoughts home.
Exactly right.
You know, he will rejoice just like we hope to rejoice. He will be glad just like we hope to be glad. And when he says here that not only do my sheep hear my voice, not only does he knows us, not only do we follow him, but he says here that, and I give to them eternal life. God has given his sheep, those that he has given his son, he has given them life eternal.
Amen.
It doesn't matter whether you think you deserve life eternal. If he's given it to you, it's yours. You can't give it away. You can't throw it away. You can't go out and commit some vile act saying that if I do this, then I will lose eternal life. It ain't going to happen. God did it. It is silent. It cannot be broken. As simple as that, in spite of us. And that is one of the most sweetest things about the gospel. It is a work of God. It is a work of grace. It is not our works. We have no reason to boast. And we can't do anything to undo it. For God's foolish little children who says, oh, I wish I didn't, you know, that's just a foolish thought. Sprung in most part by that liar, the devil, who seeks to confuse God's children, who seeks to snatch away that hope of glory that has been given to us. Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life. It is as simple as that. You cannot take those words and twist it any other way. Now Satan would say that he really didn't mean that. What he really meant was this. the same way he did with Eve in the garden. Did God really say that? Yes, he did. But we as God's little children, brethren, you know, one of the things that I tend, I'm sure we all tend to forget from time to time, is that we forget the faithfulness, the righteousness, and the truthfulness of the Lord our God. We live in such doubtfulness from time to time, doubting, does God really, I mean, is it really real? I mean, does he really, really mean what he says? Well, the answer to that question is in Scripture. He says, let God be true, and every man a liar. You know, brethren, just because Brother John looks at you and turns his head and lies to you, God won't do that.
No, sir.
I mean, we're natural creatures for the most part. And we cannot think of God the way we do one another. As much as we might love one another. I love Brother Gary. You know? I don't think he would purposely lie to me. But then again, Brother Gary is Brother Gary.
That's exactly right.
And I am me. You see, when we have these relationships, brethren, that they're as sweet as they are, it is not the same as that which we have with our Heavenly Father.
Life eternal.
You know, brethren, God is God. And when he declares that my sheep know me, we know him because he loves us. And he has loved us with an everlasting love. It didn't just start when you thought about it or when you felt it. He loved you, brethren, even before time was. And so when God says that he knows you and that you know him, that's exactly what it means. It doesn't matter that you don't understand that love. It doesn't matter that you don't see it clearly. It doesn't matter that you don't have all of the answers. It wasn't given to us to know everything as we journey in this world. But one thing for certain, when we leave this world, we will know our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We will know him because we shall be likened unto him. And we will hear his voice because he has placed within our breast his spirit that witnesses. And so we hear that voice, brethren. One example or illustration I can give you. Go somewhere where they claim to preach the gospel, but they really don't understand what it is. Something will witness in you that that is not the truth.
Right.
It is not you, it is not me. It is that which God has placed within our breasts that witnesses that's not true. Just like on occasion, like when Brother Gary had, and I've had those occasions, Brother Barney's had those occasions, that we go, that we're blessed to attend a funeral, possibly. And amongst people that we don't know, amongst people we've never seen before, but as the truth and that good news of that gospel is shared, you will be blessed to see the Spirit moving and witnessing throughout that session as eyes gleam and light up, rejoicing. Why is that?
Right.
Because the Spirit has witnessed. That's true.
Amen.
I may not have heard it before, but that is the gospel. That is the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he came from heaven's pure world for me. He came from heaven's pure world and offered up his life to the Father as that perfect sacrifice to pay for my sin debt. That's real. I can believe that because the Spirit of Almighty God witnesses within me that that's real. That that's true. Just like it witnesses to us when you hear that uncertain sound.
Yeah.
And it says, nah, it's something wrong. It started okay, but something happened down the road. It got twisted just slightly. And naturally speaking or intellectually speaking, you may not have known that slight difference. But that which God has placed in you does. And witnesses to you. That's not it. That's not it at all. So you see, brethren, how blessed we are. You think about those little intricacies which God works within our lives, within our hearts. Because, brethren, He cares for us. And His love and kindness towards us, brethren, is truly unexplainable. It is more than we could ever think or ask. And as Jesus declared here, and I give to them life eternal, and they shall never perish. Do we understand what it means to never perish? You see, brethren, this old clay tabernacle here. You know, when we see someone and it died, and you know, and all of a sudden this old flesh gets cold and it's going to decay. I mean, that's why the urgency is to get it out of sight and plant it in the ground, because it's just going to decay, because the life is gone. Well, for God's little children, where did that life go? It went home to be with the Lord.
Amen.
So when Jesus says they will never perish, that's exactly what He means.
Exactly.
You're going to go home. You're going to go home to be with the Lord. Well, their old body may lie in a cold, cold ground. God's little children live on. They live on in the presence of the Lord our God. And He says here, they shall never perish. He says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And that includes the adversary, the devil, who would tell you, brethren, that there is no hope. He would tell you all manner of things to snatch away that joy from you. But as Jesus declared here, nobody's going to pluck you out of my hand.
Nope.
The Father has given you to me, and nobody and nothing at all is going to change that.
Right.
Nothing will ever sever or separate us, brethren, from the love of God. Because of that finished work of our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus goes on, He says, He didn't finish there. He says, my Father which gave them me. You see, brethren, we were given to Him in a covenant of grace.
Amen.
Even before this world began, that at the appointed time that the Lord Jesus Christ would come to this world in the form of a babe. And He would come to this world for the sole purpose of redeeming us unto God. And in that redemption, He fulfilled all of that the Father sent Him to do. That we would have life and we would have it eternal. And nothing's going to change that. And He says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all. You see, bro, when the world says, where is God? They say, where is God? Because they know it's not God. When we see all of that going on all around us, we think of the brother who lost his family in the fire. You think of all the kids who get shot in school. You think of all of these things that are going on around the world. And even sometimes, God's children said, where is God in all of this? God is where he's always been. He holds absolute authority, absolute power over all of his creation. That has never changed, and it never will. We see sin running rampant. Well, brethren, you see nothing going on that God had not already foretold us that's going to happen. He said there'd be perilous days there were perilous times in the latter days. We're in the latter days. Sin does wax worse and worse. And in all of that, it gives us that yearning, that desire to be absent from this flesh and to be at home with the Lord. What the scripture says, a thousand years is a day to the Lord. We keep thinking, well, when is he going to return? Jesus says only the Father knows that. We just need rest assured that he is. Just like he came in at the appointed time, he will return at the appointed time that the Father has made. And whether we be here, we don't know. But one thing we do know, we will be with him. Whether we meet him in the air, whether we, these old clay tabernacles, being glorified and transformed, rise from the grave. However that happens, we will forever be with the Lord. It's greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Oh, the foolish notion that the world has that they can do, that they're stronger and mightier and smarter than the Lord our God. I mean, mankind is simply that foolish. They are. Remember the title of battle. Yeah, that's the first one that comes in my head. These idiots, they're going to build this tower. They're going all the way to heaven. You know, when mankind's been blessed to go to fly to the moon, so he thinks they can fly anywhere and do anything. Ever learning, never really coming to that understanding and knowledge of the truth. That God created this world, mankind will not destroy it. Mankind thinks that he can do something to make this world last forever and ever and ever. It ain't going to last forever, brethren. It will last to the appointed time that God has appointed it to last. And then it will be gone. He created it. He will destroy it. I and my Father are one.
Amen.
One of the greatest mysteries, the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. As much as these old natural minds try to figure that out, you're not going to. Stop wasting your time. Just believe what Jesus has said. The Father and I are one. Let that be sufficient for us little lambs as God's little children. As we journey in this world, traveling, longing for a better home, longing to be home with the Lord our God. Blessed be his name.
Amen.
Amen. That's Brother Long. You said something.
Yeah, brother.
give him the mic.
284.
284.